Our lesson, and we're still kind of talking about my imagination. Jesus, help my mind. But I want to talk about a little bit, take a little deviation this morning and focus on the path of righteousness. We started talking about it on last Sunday, but I kind of got a little bit, went another way. But today I want to focus on the right path or the path of righteousness. And I want to look at Psalms chapter number 23 and verse number 3. Psalms 23 and verse number 3. Now, we got a couple of scriptures that we're going to be running this morning. Let's try to do our best to keep up. We'll be in Psalms a lot, but Psalms 23 and verse 3. Now, this is a famous passage. We should almost be able to kind of quote the whole thing. All right. All right, now, when you're looking at this verse, it's part of, as we said, that famous chapter, say the Lord is my shepherd, where David begins to look at himself as the sheep, and he describes Jesus as being his shepherd, his protector, his provider, his guide, and in that role, you notice in verse number 3 is where we're focusing on, where Jesus allows David to describe Jesus as a restorer of the soul. Jesus is a restorer of the soul. And every last one of us need this from time to time, especially when we go through things and we get off track. When we are damaged by Satan's attacks or by self-inflicted wounds, things that we do to ourselves, we need Jesus to restore us. And we need to understand that restoration can only come from Jesus. It's not something that anybody is going to be able to kind of talk you through. It's not anything someone is going to be able to prescribe a medication for. Now, again, hospitals and doctors, they focus on your body. Psychiatrists focus on trying to help you deal with your mind. But the only one that can restore the soul is Jesus. The soul is the real you. The body's going back to the dirt. Remember, you were born from, or you were created from dirt. Jesus took Adam and formed him from the dust of the ground and breathed into Adam's nostrils the breath of life, and then Adam became a what? A living soul. Now, according to the book of Ecclesiastes, the dirt is going, the body is going back to the dirt, and the breath is going back to the one that gave it, and that's Jesus. But the thing that's left in the balance is the what? Is the soul. One that's left, the thing that is going to be judged, the thing that is going to spend eternity somewhere, the real you is the soul. And we have to make sure that we get our soul right before we leave this earth. I don't care what you accomplish in this time that you're here, this very short period of time, whether you accomplish your educational goals, your career goals, goals in your relationships, goals in your housing, whatever you have set forth that you want to say that I want to have this to say that I accomplished this on my list. I'm trying to help us to understand all of these things absolutely mean nothing if your soul is not right. Because all of your accomplishments are going to stay here on the earth. Every degree you get, every award, you don't know how you all have given me all of these awards for service down through the years. I like them. I appreciate them. But you're going to see when I'm dead and gone, that stuff is still going to be here. Every plaque that has my name on it is still going to be here when Elder Scudder is dead and gone. I have a basement box full of plaques from my grandparents, but people have recognized them down through the years. And it's an amazing thing to see that once you're dead and gone, nobody cares about your awards. You care about them, but nobody else does. We're not hanging up awards from them on the wall. Why? Because they're no longer here. And you are not like these other presidents and these other people that got these big statues of themselves. But even in your day and time, you see someone can put a statue up about you and someone can say something negative about you and the people will tear that statue right on down. You remember that, the Christopher Columbus? They done tore the statue on down, pulled him on down. So just as fast as people can say something nice about you, as fast as they can find something negative to say about you. And the amazing thing is you can do nothing about it. Christopher Columbus cannot stop them from putting anything up and taking it down. One thing is true, Christopher Columbus's soul is somewhere. His soul, right while we're talking right now, is spending eternity somewhere. And you and I can waste our time, waste our energy trying to figure out where he is and lose sight on what's more important. Most important thing is to make sure you're where you need to be at. I need to concentrate on Stephen to make sure Stephen gets where he desires to be at for eternity. Because eternity is a long time. It's not like what we live. I think Brother Jones talking about getting ready to come up on 80 next year. And it's the truth. Seems like a long time. But that's a brief life. That's a very brief life. In comparison to others, that is a very brief life. Life comes up so quickly. You can remember, sometimes I laugh, dealing with him just for a second, when he tells us the story about when he was dating a little girl and, you know, things of that nature. And his father had to discipline him. But, you know, it's an amazing, that happened to him years ago. But it's still fresh in his mind. And you think about the time that that incident happened to where he is right now and how he's remembering it. That time is very short. Time is very short. You have your parents. They're with you for a very brief time. And it looked like they're going to be with you forever. And then all of a sudden you wake up one day and you realize they're no longer here. You no longer can hear their voice. You no longer can touch them. You no longer can be touched by them. But it is a reminder to each and every one of you that time is very short. Time is very short, and when you stop breathing, you have to spend eternity somewhere. Scripture says, man dieth and wasteth away. Yea, man giveth up the ghost, and what? Where is he? Where is your soul going to be at? Can either wind up one of two places. It's either going to be with Jesus in paradise, or it's going to be in torment. Scripture says, in hell's fire, right? Come on, that's truth. Remember, the wage of sin is death. And scripture says death and hell are going to be cast into what? The lake of fire. And you're going to be in that lake of fire burning, fire and brimstone, forever and ever. You will not be by yourself. The beast and the false prophet will also be there. So you can waste your time trying to figure out what the devil is trying to do. All you need to worry about is where he's going. And know that you don't want to go where he's going. You say, well, I don't know what the devil is doing in the earth. You don't need to know what he's doing. You already know he's got one objective, and that's to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, how he does it is on him. But I need to focus on living. I need to focus on the fact that Jesus has come that I might have life. Not that I might die, but that I might have life. I have to realize that Jesus has given us a plan to live. When he told Nicodemus that except unless a man is born again of both water and spirit, he cannot see, nor can he enter into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is the rule of righteousness. Jesus is a righteous God. He is a king, a ruler, the supreme ruler. Satan thinks he's a king because he rules sinners. But Jesus is the supreme ruler. Why? Because Jesus pronounces judgment on the people that follow behind Satan. Isn't that something? Because Jesus said, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Right? Now that means if Satan cared anything about you, at least he would spare you from death. But he don't care nothing about you. That lets you know he's very limited. He can't even keep you from dying. Even if he wanted to, even if he tried with all of his power and all of his army, he cannot stop you from dying. Why? Because Jesus said, when I call, you are going to answer. You're going to have to give an account for the things that you've done in this body. Whether it's good, bad, acceptable, or unacceptable. So I need to ask the Lord. Whenever the enemy does trip me up, whenever he does trick me to do something that's not pleasing to Jesus, that as this scripture says in Psalms 23, anything that is off that path of righteousness, anything that's not on the path of righteousness, when you do something in your life and you make a choice or decision that is not on the path of righteousness, that decision and that choice is going to trick you up and cause you to get on another path. You know, you just can't take this thing lightly. When you make these choices and these decisions, they have an impact on where you're going to spend eternity. And you have to make it up in your mind, I don't want to do, say, or think anything that's going to cause my soul to be lost. And when I do say or think anything that causes my soul to be put in jeopardy, I need to ask the Lord to restore me. I need to ask the Lord, Jesus, help my mind. Help me to get back on the right track. Why? Because the Lord's path is a path of righteousness. It's the path to do what is right. Huh? That's the truth. And he's going to judge you. Go over to Psalms 9, 6, and 7 and see what it says there. Yes. That's truth. Yep. Yes. Look at it. One of these days, we're going to see all of this stuff is going to come to an end. All of the violence, all of the destruction, all of it is going to come to an end. But what will be left? The righteous judgment of Jesus. Right? Come on. It says the Lord endures forever. Right? He has prepared his throne for judgment. Do y'all believe that? I believe it. I believe the Lord is getting the judgment seat ready. And what is he going to do? He's going to judge the world in righteousness. He's going to minister judgment to the people in uprightness. That's that path of righteousness. All the plan of salvation, the church, the scriptures are trying to get you and I to make up our mind that we want to walk on the path that Jesus have laid out. The path that Jesus have laid out to get us ready for that one moment in our life. What one moment? That one moment when you and I are going to stand before that righteous judge. When he is going to judge us by the standards of righteousness. He's not going to judge us by what we do or know down here in this fleshly body. And when I say do or know, he's not concerned about what you learned in college. He's not concerned about what skill you picked up or what ability you have. But he wants to see what you have done with the instruction that he gave you. What instruction? He told you to be born again. Born again of both what? Water and spirit, right? He said, I love you so much. I love you, human, so much that I came down out of heaven and put on a fleshly body. Just like you are flesh and blood, I likewise took part of the same. Why did you come in the flesh, Jesus? That through death I might destroy him that had the power of death. That is the devil. All of your lifetime you were subject unto that bondage. In other words, you were enslaved to sin. You were shackled up. You were in the prison of death. But Jesus came down and freed you and I so that we could have a right to get out of that jail. That's why you have to ask yourself each and every day you walk on this earth and you don't make up your mind to be saved. You need to say, what is it that's so special about this jail of death that I choose death and not choose Jesus? When Jesus said, I've made a way for you to live. I've unlocked the door and all you've got to do is have a mind to walk out that door, right? Walk out that door and say, Jesus, I want to live. Right? That's what he did. Came down and died on that cross. Yes, scripture says that he did it because he loved us. Yes. Scripture says he so loved this world, he wasn't willing that any should perish, but that all should believe in him and come on into eternal life. Yes. Huh? Come on, that's true. Yes.
The scripture says that he that believeth is not condemned. Believeth in what? He not believing your textbooks from school. Not believing these different authors. He's talking about believing in the author of life. Jesus is the one that wrote a book of life. Huh? All these scriptures are given by his inspiration. And they're profitable. In other words, they move you forward. In their teaching, in their correcting, in their reproving, in their instruction in righteousness. Huh? Come on. You got to make up your mind. I want to be on the path of righteousness. That means I've got to have a guide. I have to have a book that I've got to go by. And not just a book. I need someone to help me along the way. That when I do get damaged, when I do get off track, I need somebody to restore my soul. In other words, restore my mind. Help me get my mind back on track and let me focus on what is more important in life, right? That's the truth. So that I won't get all distracted by the stuff that's going on in the earth. He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already. Because he does not believe in the name. Huh? That's why I say I don't know what the other churches are preaching and the other churches are teaching, but I know what we're teaching. We're teaching you about the importance of the name. The name of Jesus. The name of Jesus, it does something for you. According to chapter number 23 and verse number 3 in Psalms, it said, he restoreth my soul. Who is that he? Jesus. Jesus restores my soul. And he says, he restores my soul. He, who is that he? Jesus. He leads me in the path of righteousness. How does he do it? That name is a restorer. And that name is a guide. Huh? Come on, that's why he tells you to get your soul born again. Don't you realize what you're doing when you get born again? You're going down in the water. In the what? In the name. In the name of Jesus Christ, when sin has ruined your life, he allows you to go down in the water in his name and come up walking in the newness. If that ain't restoration, I don't know what is. He allows you to come up walking in the newness of life. In other words, Elder Scudder, you mean to tell me I ain't got to think like a sinner no more? Amen. Lord said you ain't got to think like a sinner no more. You don't have to make plans to be around sinners no more. You can do plans that line up with righteousness. You can have righteous goals. You can have a righteous outlook on life. You can look beyond all this stuff that the world is doing and say, my hope is built on Jesus. I'm looking forward to go back with Jesus when he comes. And I'm not looking for a new neighborhood. I'm looking for a brand new earth. Huh? Come on, a brand new earth. And where dwelleth what? Righteousness. Huh? I'm looking for a brand new earth where in dwelleth righteousness. Huh? You can't get to that new earth if you don't get on the righteous path. How you going to get there and you're not on the righteous path, right? That's the truth. You asked that woman, remember the story about the golden road? I don't remember what the name of it, the golden brick road. And every woman was trying to get there. He said, you got to follow that golden brick road. And I don't care, Yellow Brick Road, isn't it? Oh, yeah, what is it, Dorothy? Yeah, I don't care what she had to go through. She had to make sure she found that yellow road, right? All the sidetracks, all of the distractions that she faced. She still had to make sure she found that yellow road and walked on it. Huh? I don't care how many people were attacking her, how many people were trying to tempt her. She had to restore her thinking and say, look, what is your goal? My goal is to get back home, right? And that's what you got to say. What is your goal? My goal is to go back with Jesus when he comes. I don't care what I go through in my body. I don't care what I go through with people and family. I don't care what I go through in my finances. But if I have to make sure that I go back with Jesus, I don't care what I go through in this earth. I realize this fact. I came into this world naked. And I'm going to do what? Leave naked. But one fact remains, I'm going to stand before a righteous God who's going to judge me by the standards of righteousness. And if I'm not right, I'm not going to make it, right? That's the truth. If you ain't right, you're not going to make it.
That's why you say you have to ask the Lord. You said, let the Lord restore you. Let Jesus make you what he wants you to be. He knows how to do it. You got to move yourself out the way. You got to move yourself out the way and desire for Jesus to work. Huh? To do something for you that you have to admit. I can't do this by myself. I don't have the strength. I don't have the knowledge to get my soul where it needs to be at. I need to learn how to lean and depend on Jesus. I need to take Jesus at his word and follow what his word is saying. I need to create my own mental checklist and say, Jesus, have I done it like you say for it to be done? Did I go down in the water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of my sin? Or did I just go down in the water because it felt good? Because I just wanted to walk around and say, I've been baptized. No, you need to go down in that water in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin. You need to have a mind that when I get about that water, I want to walk in the newness of life. I don't want to be the old me no more. I want to live my days for the rest of my life to please the one that loved me and washed me from my sin in his own blood. I realize now I have been bought with the price. I've got the blood of Jesus on me. It can no longer be about me. It's got to be about the one that loved me and washed me from my sin, right? That's the truth. Come about that water walking in the newness of life. Then I got to ask the Lord Jesus to keep me. I need the Lord to keep me. That's the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is a keeper. It's a preserver. It's a leading and a guiding spirit. Huh? Come on. Someone go over to John. Chapter number 14. Didn't intend to go there because that ain't on my list. But I want you to know the role of the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost chapter, John chapter number 14. And starting at verse number 26.
And it says that the Comforter,
yes,
is the Holy Ghost.
Yes.
Whom the Father will send in my name.
Yes.
He shall teach
you all things. You see that?
To your
you see that? You see that? And that's something? You need to be in the Lord's school. You worried about the world's school, but you need to be in the Lord's school. You need to have an appetite for Jesus' word. Why? Because it is his word that you're going to need to get on this path of righteousness and to stay on it. Huh? So many people have jumped on it and jumped right off. They got on it and jumped off just as quick as they got on it. But you need the Lord's word to get you on it and to keep you on it. Huh? But you got to have a desire. Lord can't get you on the road if you don't want to be on it. Huh? You got to have a desire to be on this path of righteousness. Huh? You got to have that kind of mind. No matter what I lose, no matter what I gain, I want to stay on the path of righteousness. Huh? And when my mind gets funny, when I get off track, I need to go back to the source. The one that gave me a mind to get on the path. He is the only one that can restore my soul. Huh? You say, Elder Scudder, let me talk with you for a little bit. I can talk to you till I'm blue in the face about Jesus. But at the end of the day, he is the only one that can restore your soul. Yes, you listen to what I say. But at the end of the day, you need to get on your knees and talk to Jesus for yourself and ask him to do something for you that only he can do. What can he do? He can restore you. He can bring you back where you belong at, right?
Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
The Lord can bring you back where you belong at. Huh? He restores my soul. Huh? He leads me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Now that means the name is the key. And that's why I know John 14 and 26 is making good sense. Because the Lord says, but the Comforter, whom the Father will send in my name. Now, don't y'all realize, ain't no substitutes. Ain't no substitutes for the name. You need the name. Whenever you get off track, you need the name of Jesus. You need to cry out to the Lord. That's why I tell you all during prayer time, don't you be ashamed of the name. Don't you hold back from calling on the name of Jesus. It is his name that restores you. That you say, Lord, I want to be right. Lord Jesus, I want to get on the path and I want to stay on the path of righteousness. I'm trying to tell you the key is the name. You want to get on that path, you're going to need the name of Jesus.
You're going to need the name to wash away your sin. And you're going to need the name to keep sin off of you. And when sin gets on you, only thing that can remove sin is the name of Jesus. Only thing that can bring your mind to full repentance is the name of Jesus. He said repentance and remission of sin is going to be preached in my name. Do y'all believe that? Yes, Elder Scudder is preaching the name to you. But what do you have to do? You've got to believe in the name. Even though you hear the name being preached, Jesus, 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 you've got to find the faith to believe in the name. That no matter where you are, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You got to believe the name can make something beautiful out of your wretched, miserable life, right? Only thing that can correct you is the name of Jesus. Only thing that can fix your problems is the name of Jesus. It don't matter where your name is at on the roll. You say, I belong to this church. I'm going along with you. That don't mean nothing. It don't mean nothing if you ain't got no name. You ain't got the name of Jesus. That don't mean anything. You can sit in these red chairs all the days of your life. But if you don't have the name of Jesus, how can you be restored? And it didn't say the red chairs would restore you. It says he restores your soul. It didn't say Philadelphia Apostolic Church of God will restore you. It says he restores my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. For what reason? All because of his name, right? All because of his name. I need to put my trust in the name of Jesus. In other words, I need to lean. I need to rely on the name of Jesus. For that name that Jesus says, that's going to come. That's going to allow you to get the Holy Ghost. Don't you realize that's how you get the Holy Ghost? You get the Holy Ghost because you believe in the name. That's what happened at the house of Cornelius while Peter was preaching the name. Those that heard it and believed in it, they received the Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost is willing to come in as long as you do your part. What is your part? You got to believe in the name. You got to say within yourself, can nothing else do this for me but the name of Jesus? Come on. It's not an increase in your salary. It's not more and more work, more and more money. It's not ability to pay off this bill and pay off that bill. Only one thing can restore your soul. Only one thing can get you on the path of righteousness. And that is the name of the Lord Jesus, right? That's true. You got to respect that name. You got to know what that name can do for you. Go over to chapter number 16 of that same book, St. John. 16, let me see over here. So I don't intend to go there, like I said. 16 and start at verse number 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth.
Keep going.
It is necessary. It don't benefit Jesus. Who is this benefiting? Y'all understand that? It's a benefit for you that Jesus left this earth. Could he have stayed down here? Yes. He could have proved to you that he could live longer than Melchizedek or Methuselah. He could have proved to you that. But it requires you to have faith to say, no, Jesus doesn't physically have to be down here and live long for me to believe in him. I need to believe that he's from everlasting to everlasting. Even if I don't see him in an earthly body like I'm in an earthly body. Just because you saw him in an earthly body don't mean you was going to believe in him anyway. Because he already came down in the earth in an earthly body and they still didn't believe in him. Scripture said that he came into his own and his own received him not. It said he was in the world and the world was made by him. And the world knew him not. That's why you need to have faith in this scripture. You need to have faith in the Word. You need to know that in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist, right? Come on, the scripture says he was in the world and the world was made by him and the world knew him not. It says, he is the light, and the light, he's the life, and the light of men. He sent a man by the name of John to bear witness of the light. Jesus is the true light. And all men need to believe in the true light. Huh? Not some people. It ain't a black thing or a white thing. All men need to believe that Jesus is the true light, right? He's the true light. John says, I am not the light, but I'm only sent to bear witness of the light. Do y'all understand that? Elder Scudder is not the light. All I'm doing is bearing witness that Jesus is the light. Huh? You got to stop coming up to me and saying, Elder Scudder, you said. Huh? Elder Scudder, you said. No, I'm the Lord's spokesman. I'm giving to you what Jesus said. You need to have it fixed in your mind. I need to take the Lord at his word. I need to put all of my trust in Jesus and not lean to my own understanding, right? In all of my ways, I need to acknowledge Jesus. Jesus, you woke me up. Jesus, you gave me a mind to come to church. Jesus, you gave me the activities of my life. Jesus, you allowed me to see another day, a day I've never seen before. It is all because of you, Jesus. All because of you, Jesus. You the one touch my body when I'm sick. All because of you, Jesus. You the one to go in and fix. When stuff is off track, you the one to go in and fix it, Lord Jesus. You are my strength. You the one to give my body rest. When my body is tired, you the one to give me rest. You the one to wake me up with energy, Lord Jesus. In all your ways, acknowledge him. In other words, give him the credit, right? Give the Lord the credit. He don't want to allow you to get from point A to point B. That's why I don't think it's a strange thing. When you make it to some place, you open up your mouth and say, thank you, Jesus. When we get back home today, you go in that door and you say, I thank you, Jesus. It is no mistake you get from point A to point B. It is because of his grace and his mercy. Huh? It is his mercy that you're not consumed, that you're not destroyed in this earth, right? You realize it was up to the devil, you'd be dead a long time ago. But the Lord has kept you. Huh? It is the Lord. It was necessary that Jesus went away so that you can learn how to have faith in him. Huh? That you can learn how to trust him without seeing him. So that you can have a real kind of faith. What are you talking about, a real kind of faith? A faith to believe that Jesus is without even seeing him. Huh? Come on. A faith to know that Jesus exists without you even seeing him create the world. You came into this world and the world was already here. Huh? Sun was already up. Birds was already chirping. Grass was already growing. But you had to have a faith to say, who did all of this? Who put all of this stuff here? Somebody say, Jesus did it. And you had to believe Jesus did it. And when you got a mind to go around and celebrate him for doing it, you're blessed. You're blessed to say, Jesus, you did it. Jesus, you did it. Huh? It wasn't no great Big Bang theory. Jesus, you did it. You hung that sun up there. You gave a greater light to govern the day and a lesser light to govern the night. Jesus, you did it. You allow all the seasons to change. Jesus, you allow them little black bugs to come up out the dirt every year for about 2 weeks. You do that, Jesus. You control when they come up and you control when they go down. Nobody but you, Jesus. This is your handiwork. Huh? Can you stand flat-footed and say that? This is the Lord's handiwork. Lord, you bless man with the wisdom to be able to control the temperature in the building. To allow us to have cool air coming through the building. Or say, no, some man did it. If you listen to these black folk did everything. They created everything. They don't let you think nobody else got a brain but them. But I'm here to tell you, you need to go beyond all that stuff and say it was nobody but Jesus. Nobody but Jesus. In all of your ways, acknowledge him. Give him the credit, right? He give you the ability to go on your job and do your job. Without Jesus, you don't have no strength. You don't have the activities of your limbs. You can't breathe. You can't move. In all your ways, acknowledge Jesus. Somebody say, where you going today? I'm going to church. I'm getting up out of my bed. I'm getting out of my house. I'm going to church. What are you going there for? Because I'm acknowledging It was Jesus that gave me everything that I have. Without Jesus, I am nothing. I can't do nothing. Without the Lord giving me the strength, I can't do nothing without Jesus. And the least that I could do is praise Him, right? Least that I could do is praise Him. You're not going to be feeling 100% all the time, but that don't change the facts. That don't change the reality. Huh? Say, Elder Scott, it don't seem like I got the strength to make it. Well, you just ask somebody to hold you by the arm. You ask somebody to wheel you on in here. Why? Because you don't want the Lord to think one moment in His mind that you can do this thing without Him. We do all of this because I'm trying to let the Lord know I can't do nothing without you, Jesus. I need you for everything, right? That's true. I'm showing Him that. I ain't just talking it. I'm showing Him that. I'm showing the Lord Jesus how dependent I am on you. How unworthy I am. Huh? I don't deserve none of the stuff that come my way. None of the stuff that Jesus allowed me to go through. All the mistakes I made in my life, I don't deserve none of this stuff. But He just keep on blessing me over and over again. And the least I can do is praise Him for it, right? That's true. It was expedient that He go away. Huh? That's what Scripture say? Yep. Nevertheless, it is expedient that I go away. If I don't go away,
the Comforter will not come unto you.
Oh, yeah, you need the Holy Ghost. You need to let the Lord know it. Jesus, I need the Holy Ghost. I can't make it in this life without the Holy Ghost. Huh? What is the Holy Ghost? It is the Spirit of truth. It is the Spirit of righteousness. I cannot make it on the path of righteousness without the Spirit of righteousness. Huh? I need somebody to be truthful and honest with me. Huh? Would that mean when I'm off track, I need a truthful spirit to tell me, Stephen, you're wrong. Huh? Even when it hurt my feelings, I need a truthful spirit to be honest with me and say, you ain't doing it like the way I say for it to be done. Huh? You need to do better than what you're doing. Huh? You need to think better than the way you're thinking. When my mind get down in the gutter, I need the Spirit of truth to tell me you got gutter thinking. Huh? Come on. Your thinking is dark. Your thinking is gross. Your thinking is wicked. Huh? And if you keep on thinking like that, your soul is going to be lost, right? That's what the Spirit of truth will tell you. Spirit of truth don't cut no slack. Huh? It don't hold back. Spirit of truth don't bite his tongue. You need to learn how to bite your tongue. But the Spirit of truth don't bite his tongue. When he speaks truth. When you speak, you don't speak truth. You speaking out your feelings. Huh? And that's why you need to learn how to control what come out of you. Huh? You're not Jesus. Huh? In other words, everything you say ain't truth. You're not Jesus. Therefore, you need to check yourself when you speak. Huh? Sometimes we present ourselves though we're God. Because we go around, we talk to them. Well, I'm just telling you the truth. Are you? Are you really telling me truth? Are you really saying it the way Jesus would have it to be said? Huh? If you are, I should feel Jesus. Huh? One thing is true. Y'all ever known that? I can step all on your toes and you still love me. You don't walk out of here saying, I can't stand Elder Scudder. You still love me. Huh? You say, why is that, Elder Scudder? I'm talking about you. But you still love me. That means that lets you know it ain't me that's talking to you. Jesus is the one looking out for you. Scripture says, hey, he's trying to help you out of your mess. Huh? He calling you out for how he see you, right? Huh? He calling you out for how he see you. He doing it because he love you. You ask to go back with him when he come. He ain't letting no mess get in there. He's trying to get rid of all of that baggage right down here. Keep sin down here. That's Jesus' motto. Keep sin down here in the earth. That when I catch you up, when I bring you up out of the earth, you'll leave all that baggage down here. You ain't going to be able to catch caught up in no rapture trying to hold on to this mess. You got to have a mind frame, Lord. I'm willing to let it all go. That's why that rich man couldn't be saved. Because he didn't want to let the stuff go. Huh? Don't you be like that. Don't you be like that. I got to let this stuff go. Some of you talking about you want to go back to Jesus. You can't even pay your tithes right. Ain't even giving the Lord what he asked you to give him. And you on your way. Talking about, I'm on the path of righteousness. No, you're not. Because if you was on the path of righteousness, you would have heard the spirit of truth tell you. When you put that money in that envelope, that's not enough. Would the spirit of truth tell you that? Yeah. Spirit of truth tell you that ain't enough. That ain't the tenth. Huh? Spirit of truth tell you, you owe me the tenth. The tenth is sanctified. Huh? It's holy. It belongs to the Lord, right? It don't belong to you, right? See, spirit of truth. Everybody don't want to hear it. Everybody don't want to hear it. Everybody don't want to feel it. Huh? But it was necessary. The Lord said that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the comforter cannot come. And when he get here, huh? Come on. Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Hold up. That lets you know Jesus is the Father. Because in chapter number 14 and 26, he said the Father will send him. I'll pray that the Father is sending in my name. And then here you got Jesus out of his own mouth telling you, I'm going to send the comforter. That lets you know Jesus is the Father, right? Huh? Come on. Did y'all catch that? 14 and 26, he said, but the comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name. Huh? And then over here in chapter number 16, Jesus said, it's necessary that I go away, that if I go not away, the comforter will not come. But if I go, I will send him, right? Jesus is the Father. Isn't that the truth?
Amen.
See, it takes the Holy Ghost to see
this.
Right. You'll be reading this stuff till all of your days and won't even see that Jesus is the Father, right?
Right.
Come on, read a little bit more.
It says that when he has come,
yes.
He will reprove the world.
He didn't say when we come. There go that Trinitarian doctrine. Father, Son, Holy Ghost. No, 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 no. It says the Holy Ghost is a he.
Yeah.
Jesus is a he, right? Huh? He made Adam after his image. Jesus is a he. Huh? He ain't no woman. Huh? Oh, what they call him? Mother Nature. Jesus ain't no woman. He's a man. Huh? He made man after his image. He called Adam his greatest creation. Out of Adam, then he made the woman, right? The woman came from the man, right? That's why you need the Lord to teach you how to treat yourself.
Jesus.
Huh? Yes. You out here trying to treat women any old kind of way, but they are an extension of you.
Right.
You need to ask the Lord to help you to treat yourself the way you need to be treated.
Right.
Huh? Y'all, I'll work on it for a little bit. You're forgetting that woman came from you.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
She's a part of your body.
Right.
Huh? Adam woke up and he just noticed somebody was here.
Right.
And the Lord said, I took her out of you.
Right.
Huh? And he said, this is now bone of my bone.
Right.
Flesh of my flesh, right?
Right.
And man talking about he loved himself, but don't even know how to love the one that the Lord brought out of him. The Lord got a word for you and you ain't going to like it. He called you a liar. And he said, the truth is not in you. Huh? How can you say you love me whom you've never seen? And you hate your brother or your sister who you see every day, right? You can't even wake up and kiss your wife because you're so full of hate. Huh? I ain't saying that that's none of you. I trust it ain't none of you. But you better remember that come from who? You. Huh? See, I can't stand the way she talked to me or he talked to me. That's an extension of you. All you're doing is hearing you. Now, I don't talk like that, do you? That ain't me. That's them. Are you sure? Huh? Maybe you need to go back and push the record button. Huh? And push play a couple of times. And hear what you say out your mouth. And not just hear it, but feel it. Feel it. You know, words got feelings behind it, too. Huh? That's right. That's a side note. But it's a good side note. Because you got to talk about, you say, that's why I tell you, you don't need to be married until you learn how to love yourself.
Right.
Need to leave that opposite sex alone until you learn how to deal with who you. Huh? Get you straight first. In other words, learn how to love and appreciate you first. Then you can learn to love and appreciate somebody else. You won't say anything to them. Huh? You won't treat them any kind of way. The famous words Deke keep throwing out to me, say, love them like Jesus loved the church. Huh? Love that wife like Jesus loved the church. Huh? That's true, isn't it? Jesus don't talk any old kind of way to the church. So therefore, I ain't going to talk any old kind of way to my wife. Huh? That's true. He loved his bride. He loved his bride so much he gave his life for her. Huh? He said, greater love have no man than this. That a man do what? Lay down his life, right? That's the truth. Come on, read me a little bit more.
When he has come, he will reprove the world of sin.
Yes, he will. Hold up. This is why folk don't want to deal with Jesus. Because he's not going to make you comfortable sinning.
Right.
Huh?
Right.
That's why folk don't want to deal with no holiness. They want to be comfortable doing their sin. They say, I ain't going to no church. Why are you not coming to church? We ain't going to do nothing but learn about Jesus. They all hypocrites. No, they're not. Some of us are doing right. Some of us are trying to live right. All of us are not hypocrites. There are some that may be hypocrites, but you don't need to focus on them. Remember, he restores your soul. He leads you in the path of righteousness. Only one you need to be focusing on is Jesus, right? Huh? He's the only one that you can look at and find no fault. When you look at me, you may find fault. You will find fault. Why? Because I'm a human. And I make mistakes. Huh? Try to tell you right now, Elder Scudder makes mistakes. So you say, oh, Elder Scudder, I thought you was my pastor and how you would let back Jesus and you'd be anointed. But I'm a human just like you are. And you rub me the wrong way on the wrong day when I'm doing the wrong thing, you're going to hear something you shouldn't hear, right? I might roll my eyes at you. You don't have to worry about me cussing you out. Sales cutting. You don't cuss? No, I don't cuss. I don't have that spirit inside of me. But I can't say something to you that'll cut you to your throat. Huh? Yeah, I can say something to you that'll make you feel real bad and real low. Huh? You can say something to me to do the same thing. Just like I got the potential in me, you got it in you too. Huh? You can look at somebody and make him feel real bad. Huh? That's why you need the Lord to fix you. Fix my mind, Jesus. Huh? Restore my soul, Jesus. Huh? Help me to do things the right way, Lord Jesus, right? I know that is within me. That is in my flesh is a no good thing, right? Only one that can help me with it. That is Jesus. Huh? That's why it was necessary that he went away. Because if he did not go away, he could not send another spirit to come down on the inside of me and help me with me. Help me with me. Huh? An honest spirit. A spirit of truth. Didn't I tell you all that will not bite his tongue with you, right? That's a good spirit to have inside of you. Huh? Let you know when you're wrong. Huh? That's truth. Come on, read a little bit more.
And put the reward of sin.
Yes.
And of righteousness and of judgment of sin because they believe not on me.
That's true.
Of righteousness.
Lord, I'll let you see, just because these folk call themselves your friend, when they ain't got no mind to believe in Jesus, they're the devil.
Amen.
Huh? Say, Elder Scott, don't you call them that. I didn't call them that. Jesus said it. Jesus said they are of their father, the devil. The will of their father will they do. He was a murderer from the very beginning and abode not in the truth. So anybody that don't want to get out of their sin, what are they trying to tell you? I'm following somebody. Huh? That's true. Everybody is following somebody. You need to ask yourself the question, who am I following? If I'm not following Jesus, ain't nobody left but the devil, right? There's nobody left but Satan. You're not following Jesus, you're following Satan. And Satan is on a path to what? Destruction. Huh? But Jesus says, he says, how be it when he's go away, he's going to of sin because they do what? Believe not. Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
He's going to reprove my righteousness because I go to my Father.
Yes.
And you see me no more.
Ain't that the truth? Don't you need the Holy Ghost to be able to live right? When the world don't see Jesus, they need to see Jesus where? In you. Huh? world need to see Jesus in you. They need to see Jesus and they need to feel Jesus. Huh? Jesus don't treat people mean. Jesus don't talk about folk. Not behind their backs. Jesus ain't no backbiter like that. Jesus is an honest spirit. He sees the best in everybody. Huh? That's what love. Love says that. Love hopes and all, believes and all, right? Charity suffers long. Huh? Jesus puts up with folk. Yes, he does. But I tell you, saints, and when you're talking about a church, a gathering of people, you need to have the Holy Ghost. Because if you ain't got no Holy Ghost, we're not going to be able to deal with one another. We'll get on one another's nerves. We'll irritate each other. You need to have the Holy Ghost to look beyond this stuff. Take the Holy Ghost to live right. The way I live is different from the way you live. Things I like in my house, you might not like in your house. My dog jumps on my sofa. You may say, that's disgusting. But you still got to treat me right. You still got to treat me right. You can't look down on me when you and I invite you into my house because you know I let my dog jump on my sofa. Now, we clean our dog. I just want y'all to know that already. But I'm just saying, you may go into somebody's house that you may not think that they're going to clean their dog like they want to. And but they invite you to sit down on the sofa. Sit down on the sofa and sit there like you appreciate them asking you to sit down. Don't be sitting there holding your clothes. It smells. You got the devil inside of you. That's not Jesus. Jesus don't give you no mind to act like that. Jesus don't give you that kind of spirit to behave yourself like that. You're in yourself, right? I'm just talking about sitting on somebody's sofa. Help you, Lord, help you. You got to sit beside somebody. What if ain't no more other seats in the church? You got to sit beside somebody that smells. Huh? You need to ask the Lord to help you to treat that person with respect. They may be having a condition that they can't control, that stuff. And you need to treat them with respect, right? Love them. Huh? Love them like they smell like a bed of roses. Huh? I'm trying to tell you why you need the Holy Ghost. See, a lot of stuff, we be going through the motions and we ain't got no Holy Ghost. Because it's showing up. It's showing up that Jesus ain't leading and he ain't guiding. And if it ain't the Lord leading, guiding, who is it? Satan will fill you just like Jesus will. Y'all didn't know that? Look at Judas. What did the Lord say to Judas? Satan that filled your heart. Huh? So you got to be careful to make sure that it is the Holy Ghost and not that other spirit, right? Come on. I'm going to get ready to let y'all go. I got to go. Yes.
And it says, I'm judgment because the prince of this world is judged.
Uh-huh.
I have yet
we need to live like we know that the devil is judged. Mm-hmm. We don't live like the devil is going to be judged. Mm-hmm. We live like he's already judged. Right. We already know that Satan is going to hell. Right. We live as though he's already there. And we don't want to go there, right? That's the attitude that you got to approach. Folk come to you with stuff that is represented and created by the devil. You know Satan's devices. You know Satan's tactics. You're not foolish. You understand flesh. You understand lust. Huh? So when you see somebody come to you with devilish devices, in your mind you need to default. That's going to take me to hell if I listen to that. That's going to take me to hell if I watch that. They love it. They enjoying it. So that means they want to go to hell. Huh? Why don't the next time they do that, tell them, you know that stuff is going to take you to hell, don't you? I guarantee they won't bring it back to you no more. They'll leave you alone real quick. You know you watching that stuff is going to cause you to lift up your eyes in a burning flame. And you're going to be in that flame forever and ever. I guarantee they won't show you that stuff no more. They may still watch it, but they won't bring it to you. Huh? So you got to live like you know that the prince of this world is judged already. Huh? Come on, read a little bit more. I'm about to let y'all go.
I have yet many things to say unto
yes.
You, but he cannot bear them.
Can't take it.
Albeit when he, the spirit of truth, soon this comes. He will guide.
Hold up, hold up. What is Jesus? He is a guiding spirit. You're not in this church by mistake, saints. It is the Lord that did what he guided you here. Huh? And you got to appreciate him doing that for you, right? You the one cried and asked the Lord for help. Huh? I didn't hear you. Told you all I didn't know you. I didn't even know you existed on the earth. Huh? Some kind of way you popped up in here. Huh? Showed up from nowhere. Huh?
Yeah.
And you need to realize why you are here. What did you do before you got here? What did you say before you got here? What were you crying out to in the middle of the night? What were you thinking about when you were walking the street by yourself? And you said, I'm tired. Huh? I'm tired. I don't want to live like this anymore. Huh? Don't you know grace has ears? Jesus hears you. He said, well, I've been saying that for a long time, but that moment you really meant it. And therefore he guided you where you need to be at. Huh? He let you navigate through all of the foolishness. All of those pretenders. Yeah. It's the truth. Huh? You say, Elder Scott, I done passed by 1,000 churches before I got to yours. They was pretenders.
Right.
Huh? Because
right.
If it was truth, the Lord would have walked you right into them doors. He's a guiding spirit, right? He leads and guides you into all truth. Not some. He's a guiding spirit. And he lets you navigate right where you need to be. Huh? So you can hear what you need to do. That's why you be so busy trying to tell the folk, did you hear what Elder Scudder said? Did you hear what Elder Scudder said? The question somebody should look at you and say, did you hear what he said? You so busy trying to tell other folk, but you're not letting the Holy Ghost do what God who? Huh? Everybody heard that right. Huh? You need to let the Holy Ghost do what? Jesus don't need no help. He knows how to do this job all by himself. Do y'all understand that? Don't nobody get in here by mistake. I know that. I know if you come through those doors, it's a reason. And don't nobody need to worry about it but who? You. Because you're the one that prayed to the Lord for truth, right? And he will give it to you. You may say, well, I got a whole lot of questions. The Lord's saying, I got a whole lot to give you. But as he said in this scripture, you can't handle it right now. Huh? I know how to feed you just what you need. Huh? But you keep saying the same thing over to me, because maybe you're not doing it yet. I can't move to step B until you do step A. Huh? But I did it already, did you? You didn't do it the way the Lord wanted to be done yet. When you do it the way he say for it to be done, he'll move you. How do you know he'll move you? Because he's a guiding spirit. That's what the scriptures say. I didn't say it. He says, how be it when he has come, he will guide you. Not some truth. All truth. He shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever. That's why I tell you all the time, you don't have to talk to me. The Lord knows everything that you need to hear. And when you tell Jesus, he will let it come out of me some kind of way. I've never seen him fail yet. He'll let me talk about something that I had no plans on talking about. You say, well, Scott, you ain't, and you hear me say it. I didn't intend to go to that scripture, but let me go over there for this reason. Something in your mind and in your life needed to hear that. You say, how do you know I need it? Because you talk to Jesus. And he's the one that knows the hearts and minds of all men. I don't know your heart.
Right.
I don't know your mind.
Right.
I don't know what is going on in your life.
Right.
Jesus does that.
Right.
But you better listen when he speaks. Because he may not be in a repeating feeling. And if you miss it, who's going to be lost? That's why he told you, when you come into his house, be more swift to do what? Hear. Huh? The Lord don't take pleasure in the vows of fools.
Right.
Fools make promises they don't keep. That's why you need to ask the Lord to do what? Restore my soul.
Right.
Help me to keep honor my vow. Right? Huh? The promise that I made to who? To Jesus. Help me to do what? Honor my vow, Jesus.
Right.
Help me not to defer to pay that vow. Did you finish reading?
He shall
hear.
That shall he
speak. What will the Lord show you? That's right. Now, don't you need that? I need the Lord to keep me prepared for what? The future. Uh-huh. Come on, Lord Jesus. What you talking about? Matthew chapter number 6 and 33 and 34. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be what? Take no thought on tomorrow. For tomorrow will take thought of itself. Sufficient. All you need to focus on is what the Lord gave you. What did he give you? He gave you today. And he said, today if you will hear his voice. Huh? Today if you will do what? Hear his voice. Harden not your heart. Many people have heard the voice of Jesus and they developed a hard heart. Huh? Look at the children of Israel. How much did they hear the Lord's voice? Every time the Lord spoke, it seemed like their heart got more and more calloused. Huh? Till the Lord said within himself, I swear by my wrath that they shall not enter into my rest. He made them wander 40 years, a trip that should have only took 3 months. Huh? 40 years. I pray we're not wandering. Y'all understand what I just said? I pray we're not wandering. And the Lord having given us a promise that we're not going to get in because of our rebellious attitude. I pray the Lord will keep our hearts and our minds soft to receive what he is saying to us. And we allow Jesus to help us with who? Ourselves. Remember, he restores what? My soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness. For what reason? His name's sake, right? Let me give you all a couple of scriptures. We don't have to read them, but I did have them in my notes, and I want you all to see these. About this is your prayer. This is a prayer that you can put before the Lord. This is how you can regulate and modify your desire. Psalms chapter number 5 and 8. These will all be Psalms. Psalms chapter 5 and 8. Psalms chapter number 25 and 5. These are scriptures that will help you regulate your desire and position you to be on the path of righteousness. Psalms 31 and 3. Psalms 31 and 3. Psalms 43 and 3. And the last psalm, Psalm 139 and 24. And again, these are prayers. You're going to hear the writer expressing a desire for Jesus to regulate his thoughts, regulate his mind, regulate his desire. You got to want to be on the path of righteousness. Lord doesn't put you on the path against your will. He doesn't. He doesn't force his will on anybody. But you have the desire to do what is right. Even when it requires a sacrifice. Even when it requires that you lose something. You have the desire to be on the path of righteousness. I got to want to be. I have to have a mind to want to do what is right. Even when it means I have to walk alone. Even when it means I have to let some stuff go. Even if it means I have to stop going certain places, I have to stop talking to certain people, I have to stop watching certain things, I have the desire to be on the right path. All right? He cannot bless you if you do not have a desire for it. He will not force his will on anybody, okay? So keep that before yourselves, saints. We trust you'll hide the word in your heart that you may not sin against the Lord Jesus.